All right, so let me start off by asking you a question. Have you ever looked around at your current situation, your job, your family, your responsibilities, your limitations? Have you ever looked around at your situation and thought, what am I even doing here? Maybe it doesn't look like much. Maybe it doesn't feel like a place where dreams come true or a place where influence is built. Or it may not even look like a place where God uses people in powerful ways. But let me encourage you today with this truth, straight from the heart of God's word. Where you are is not an accident. I want to say that again. Where you are is not an accident. In fact, you've been placed there, positioned there, assigned to be there, not just for your sake, but for the sake of what God is doing in the lives of others. Sometimes we assume that if God really had a plan for us, it would look more glamorous, more public, more important. This is why we mistakenly think, we don't really say this out loud, but we mistakenly think that ministry is best left to the professionals, right? The pastors, the evangelists, the missionaries, those who are gifted to be there, the worship leaders, right? And so we think ministry happens on a stage or with a microphone, on a platform in front of people, carrying some significant title, right? But God's purposes are rarely confined to our idea of significance. He actually often starts in the quiet places, in the hidden roles, in the background assignments where no one is applauding, but heaven is watching. In our passage today, we're going to witness how God uses a surprising setting, an unexpected need, and a seemingly small task to move his plan forward. And more than that, he does it through someone who might have seemed out of place to everyone else, but who was exactly where he needed to be in God's timing. So before we dive in, I want to invite you to hold this in your heart as we talk. What if where you are right now isn't random? What if it's on purpose? I want to ask that again. Again, be thinking about this as we're talking. What if where you are right now isn't random? What if it's on purpose? What if God has already positioned you in this season, in this place, in these circumstances for something greater than you can currently see? Let's open up the word and find out. Today we're going to be in 1 Samuel 16, and we're going to start in verse 14, and we're going to close out the chapter. I'll break it down as we go. It should be on the screen below me. 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting in verse 14, this is what it says. It says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, King Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear." Some translations say harmful spirit or even evil spirit. So let's stop right there, okay, and acknowledge that this is an extremely difficult verse. As a matter of fact, this is one of the most controversial verses in all of Scripture, because we have to understand that the absence of God's spirit doesn't leave a neutral void. Okay, it leaves an opening. And it reminds us whatever space in your life is not filled by God's presence will be filled by something else. Now, you may be asking, wait, does that mean that God sent something evil, right? That's where the controversy comes in. Let's remember what Scripture says. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." James chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." God does not author evil. He is holy and perfect in every way. So then what's happening here where it says the Lord sent a tormenting or harmful or evil spirit upon Saul? Well, sometimes in Scripture, we'll see things described from a sovereign point of view, not necessarily saying that God actively caused it, but that he allowed it. Just like in the book of Job, Satan is the one that causes Job's suffering, but Job says it's the Lord who gives and the Lord who takes away. Why? Because nothing happens outside of God's control. He allows it for his purposes. So what's happening here? Well, it says that the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul. So God removed his spirit from Saul, that protective presence left, and in that vacancy, in that void, a spirit of torment was allowed to enter. God did not torment Saul. Saul's disobedience left him exposed. I mean, that's a pretty sobering reality, right? When we walk away from God, when we ignore his spirit, he may let us feel the weight of what life is like without him. And that's what's happening with Saul here. But even though he allows these things in our lives, his grace is still active, offering us a way back through repentance. So here's the question. Are you filled or are you exposed? Are you vulnerable like Saul? Because the enemy cannot torment what the Holy Spirit occupies. Do you understand? So let's pick up in verse 15. Some of Saul's servants said to him, "A tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. Let us find a good musician to play the harp whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you. He will play soothing music and you will soon be well again." "All right," Saul said, "find someone who plays well and bring him here." This is so interesting to me. Saul doesn't even seem to notice his own spiritual condition, but his servants do. Isn't that us sometimes? Others see it, right? They see the short temper, the bitterness, the anxiety, the joylessness, the loss of peace, but we're often the last ones to recognize it. We're the last ones often to recognize our own distance from God. This is why we need godly community, people who can see what we can't see, who can see what we won't admit, and who will point us back to the source. So what do the servants do? Well, they suggest music, but not just any music. They suggest music that ushers in the presence of God, right? Even Saul's servants believed that music, worship, and the Spirit of God could change the atmosphere. So they suggested bringing in a skillful musician to play to combat the tormenting spirit. Not a warrior, not some life coach or a celebrity prophet. They're looking for someone who can worship. Because worship is warfare. It realigns hearts. It shifts spiritual climates, right? It points to the very presence of God. And that's exactly what Saul needed. Someone to bring him into the presence of God. Worship invites the presence of God into the very place where torment has tried to take root. Some of us are trying to fight spiritual battles with natural strategies. But what you need is not more control or more hustle or more opinions. What you need is more of his presence. You need worship that invites heaven to invade your situation. All right, let's pick up in verse 18. It says, "One of the servants said to Saul, 'One of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he's also a brave warrior, a man of war, and has good judgment. He's also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him.' So Saul sent messengers to Jesse to say, 'Send me your son David, the shepherd.'" Now, this is where the story shifts and where God's providence shines. David's not looking for a job, right? He doesn't apply for this. He doesn't look at some want ad and say, "I'm a harpist," right? He doesn't campaign or promote himself. He's not networking to get into the palace. He's in the pasture with the sheep, right? He was simply out in the field doing, frankly, what no one else wanted to do, watching sheep. He was writing songs, practicing with his slingshot, and worshiping God when no one was watching. And someone noticed. And one of the servants says to Saul, "I've seen this kid who's pretty talented with the harp, and he's also a brave warrior. He's good looking, and the Lord is with him." And that last phrase, that's everything. The Lord is with him, right? That's the only qualification that matters. You understand that, right? I get so many people who are so hesitant to serve God in certain areas, especially when it comes to verbally sharing their faith with someone or sharing the gospel with someone, because they think that they are not qualified to do so. And so we say things like, well, I just don't know enough, or I'm not experienced enough, or my life looks a certain way, or I'm just not a very good speaker. And so we put all these caveats and conditions on it to make ourselves think that we're not qualified. But listen to me, church, this is so important. The only qualification that matters is that the Lord is with you. The only qualification that matters is that the Lord is with you. David is positioned behind the scenes, but his character and the presence of God in his life speak for themselves. And David gets called to the palace, not to sit on the throne, right, but to serve someone who doesn't even realize that he's already been replaced. All right, so let's finish out the chapter. Verse 20 says, Jesse responded by sending David to Saul along with a young goat, a donkey loaded with bread, and a wineskin full of wine. So David went to Saul and began serving him. Saul loved David very much, and David became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent word to Jesse asking, please let David remain in my service, for I am very pleased with him. And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp, then Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would go away. So David comes in with a harp and a heart full of worship, and when he plays, the enemy retreats, and peace returns, and Saul finds rest. And the Spirit of God begins moving in the room, not because of position, but because of the presence David carried with him. When God's anointing is on your life, when his anointing is on your life, he'll use you to lead people into his presence. So listen, God uses ordinary, spirit-filled people with simple gifts to accomplish his purposes. You know, I was reading this and I was wondering, what might David think about his harp playing? You know, does he think, oh, I'm a really good, you know, harp player, and I wish other people could hear? I'm sure he didn't wake up one day thinking, you know, one day I'm going to play this harp in front of sold out arenas, and maybe even one day the king will invite me to play. I don't think he did all that. I think he just cultivated a heart of worship and a skill where God had planted him out there with the sheep, right? So what feels insignificant in your life, inconsequential, maybe a hobby or a side gift, may just be the thing that God desires to use to bless others. And I know that there are many of you watching who may think, well, I'm just not gifted or skilled in any way that may bring value to someone's life. But that's simply not true, church. You certainly have the ability to just sit with someone in pain, right? And just listen and encourage them. In a noisy world, a quiet presence can be healing. That's a harp, right? Maybe you love cooking. I know many people in our church love cooking. Surely God can't use that, right? Listen, when someone is grieving or sick or exhausted, your casserole becomes their comfort. That's a harp, right? If you find yourself sending encouraging texts to people, saying just thinking of you, or writing notes for people, don't dismiss that. Your words may be the only lifeline that someone hears that day. That's a harp. Maybe it's hospitality. Maybe you're good at opening up your home and creating a warm space where people feel safe and seen and welcome. That's ministry. That's a harp. Even if no one ever sees you, if you're the kind of person who prays and intercedes behind closed doors regularly, you're shifting atmospheres in the spirit. That is a powerful harp. If you can repair a sink or run errands or babysit or mow a lawn or help someone move, those simple acts of service become expressions of God's love. That's a harp. Right? Maybe you've walked through some addiction, or maybe you've walked through divorce or grief or some sort of trauma. You didn't come out empty. You came out carrying sound. Your testimony is a harp that can drive demons of shame and despair from someone else's heart. Listen, Serving God is about your availability and using what you've been given to bless others and to share God's love with others. You understand that, right? It's being available and using what you have to love God and to love others. I know when I talk about stuff like this, many people are like, well, yeah, it's easy for you to say, Tommy, you're a pastor, and being a pastor comes with obvious giftings, right? But that's not true either. You know, I got saved at 19, and I got to tell you, there was a time in my life when I was terrified to speak in public. There was a time when I was terrified to get up in front of a crowd of people and talk in any way, let alone doing what I'm doing now, right? What happened when I gave my life to Christ is I literally gave God my unconditional yes. God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'll do it. Whether that's digging a ditch in Mexico or, again, traveling around the world or getting on stage terrified and in my weakness allowing God strength to shine through by sharing a testimony or a Bible study or a devotional or preaching a message. I said yes no matter what it was he asked me to do, whether that was being in a skit, right? A silly skit to share the gospel or singing a song or working with children or whatever, I just said yes. And when I started saying yes to God, I never thought that it would lead to me pastoring a church one day. Never in a million years. And I'm not saying that's where everybody's going to end up. I'm just saying you never know how God can use you until you make yourself available and you use whatever it is that you've been given, whether that's time or a voice or your hands in service or whatever, or some gifting that you have. You never know how God could use that until you make yourself available and you make those things available to serve him and to share his love by serving others. Do you not realize that in this moment, this season, in these exact circumstances, you have been strategically positioned and equipped by the hand of God? He has sovereignly orchestrated your steps so that you would be right here, right now, to serve his kingdom purposes. You are a living vessel, assigned to reflect his love in a tormented and lost world. To the weary, your voice of peace. To the broken, your display of restoration. To those around you, you're the evidence that God is real and God is good. Through your life, through your words, through your obedience, he desires to use you, church, to draw others into his presence where healing and hope and salvation can be found. So please, please don't minimize where you are or overlook what God has placed in your hands, because in God's economy, nothing is wasted and no place is purposeless, right? You're not just called in this moment. You are called to this moment, to this time, to this place where God has you. You know, nobody knew what God was doing in this passage in 1 Samuel 16, right? Nobody knew what God was doing with David. Not Saul, not the servants, maybe not even David. But God was working behind the scenes, uniquely positioning and equipping David to accomplish his will. The man being replaced was now leaning on the one who would replace him. That's wild, right? God's plans are not always loud, right? They're not always glamorous. They don't always come with a platform or stage or a microphone, but they're always perfect, always perfect. He doesn't need to shout. He'll whisper his way into the palace. All right, so let's just take a second and zoom out, okay? You know what this story reminds me of? Jesus, right? David is a picture of Jesus. He came humbly. He served faithfully. He brought peace to people in torment, and he waited patiently for his time. David wasn't grabbing for power. He wasn't manipulating his way to the top. He let God equip him and position him and open the doors. And Jesus did the same. He said, I came not to be served, but to serve. Think about it, right? The King of Kings came as a servant. And because of that, he has the name above every name. David was a man after God's heart. It didn't matter that he was a shepherd, the lowliest job in the harshest of environments. It didn't matter that he was essentially outcast and overlooked. He was chosen and positioned by God. God had already anointed David, and when the time was right, his calling met his opportunity. So let me ask you this. Where has God positioned you right now? It may not look like a throne room. Like it may look like a neighborhood that you don't give any thought to, or a workplace that wears you down. It may look like a home full of hard conversations, or a ministry that feels hidden, or a relationship that feels strained. But I'm telling you, you are positioned and equipped for a purpose. Please don't miss that. You are positioned and equipped for a purpose. Don't waste this season that you're in. Chase after God's heart in worship. Carry his presence. Serve with humility. Your harp may not look like much, but in the hands of the anointed, it can change the atmosphere. All right? It can break chains. So don't despise where you are. You are not stuck. You are strategically placed. You are positioned and equipped for a purpose. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much, God, for who you are. God, I thank you for your love and your faithfulness, God, to us. God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, I thank you for salvation, that you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for our sins. God, we thank you that through Jesus, we have right standing with you. God, I thank you that through Jesus, we are clothed in a righteousness that does not belong to us, that we do not deserve and we could never earn. God, I thank you that through Jesus, you have given us the right to be called your sons and your daughters. God, I thank you that through his sacrifice, we've been offered new life and abundant life and eternal life if we would just place our faith and our trust in him. Thank you for the gift of salvation. God, but beyond that, thank you, Father, for inviting us to be a part of your kingdom purposes here on this earth, God, for positioning us and equipping us to serve you, to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and to serve others and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. God, we thank you, Father, for that. God, I pray, Father, that we wouldn't turn away from what it is that you called us to be and called us to do in this time and in this place. God, but that we would recognize that you have uniquely positioned and equipped us to bring value to the lives of those around us, to usher in your presence to the lives of those around us. And so, God, I pray, Father, that we would just be a people who make ourselves available. God, who are willing to use whatever it is that you've placed in our hands. God, that we would give you our unconditional yes, and that your spirit would move in and through us in such a powerful way that lives around us would be changed forever. God, use us for your glory and for your kingdom and for the sake of those around us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.